And it's 9:02. Last week, President Obama declared November's storms in western Alaska a natural disaster. The pronouncement unlocks federal funds through FEMA for public projects in the communities worst damaged. 2.5 months after severe flooding ruined homes and vital infrastructure, Stebbins is organizing to put recovery funds towards fixing long-standing problems exacerbated by the storm damage. For more than 20 years, the community's three governing entities, the city, the IRA, and the Stebbins Native Corporation, have been working towards getting water and sewer capabilities up and running. The provisional remedy, a honey bucket hauling system, created a serious health hazard when floodwater spilled several large containers of waste across a marshy area just beyond the town's main road. Then the mess froze, trapping other refuse as well, including many suspect fuel, inorganic pollutants, and carcasses of loose dogs caught in the rising waters. Residents and officials were worried what would happen to the contamination when the ground thawed in the spring, but according to City Administrator Nora Tom, signs of contamination started appearing even earlier.
After the storm, we had close to 10 dogs that were reported that they died, in fact, from being sick, and they had signs of E. coli.
Advised by officials that the floodwaters could bring contamination, residents took precautions and threw out household goods and stores of food. Morris Nishonik is mayor of Stebbins and says that the top priority working with state and federal funders is the town's water system.
Currently, our water and sewer has been on hold for many, many years. The flood from recent flooding has put us in a situation where the state and the federal have to look in to try and speed the process of getting the water and sewer for Stebbins.
Though water and sewer have been development priorities in Stebbins for decades, local officials are now approaching it as an essential disaster mitigation measure, just like their calls for a protective seawall. The leadership in Stebbins anticipates the late freeze-ups and worsening storms caused by climate change to intensify. Mayor Morris Nishonik says that rather than relying on consultants and outside engineer firms for managing projects, as they did in the past, the city is reorganizing to lobby and labor on its own behalf.
And I think with our group of people that have lived through years of enduring storms and the needs of the community, I think with our group of people that have knowledge of trying to attain some funding sources would be more of a mark to the community, because the community can be able to stand up on their own and lobby for themselves.
This week, NSEDC sent 3,000 pounds of halibut and salmon in response to a request from the IRA for help with community-wide losses of fish and meat in the storm. Tommy Kirk, head of the IRA in Stebbins, said by Thursday, almost all the fish had been distributed. Stebbins leadership is working on solidifying a list of their needs and priorities. The hope is to present it to representatives in Juneau during this current legislative session to spur action in time for the cleanup efforts set to resume in the spring. Legislation was filed in Juneau yesterday to expand the Medicaid program in Alaska, despite a decision last year by Alaska Governor Sean Parnell to not expand the program. The Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, includes a provision that allows state to expand the eligibility for their Medicaid program. The cost of that expansion would be fully covered by the federal government for the first 3 years. Beyond that, the feds would pay 90% of the cost. Initially, the expansion of the program to cover individuals with incomes of up to 138% of the federal poverty level was mandatory. However, a Supreme Court decision in 2012 resulted in the expansion becoming optional for states. Alaska Governor Sean Parnell decided back in November to turn down the expansion and the federal dollars. It seems unlikely that the legislature would or could overrule the governor's decision, since he has the ability to veto any legislation that makes it through the legislative process. That, coupled with the fact that Republicans control both houses of the legislature and most Republicans are opposed to the Affordable Care Act, makes it unlikely any legislation forcing an expansion of Medicaid would be successful. But Democrats in the Alaska House and Senate will try. They held a press conference Thursday. The prime sponsor for the legislation in the Senate is Senator Bill Willikowski from Anchorage. He says expanding Medicaid is the morally right thing to do. He also says it makes good economic sense.
Congress made a generous offer to the states when it agreed to pay 100% of the cost of expansion for the first 3 years and between 90 and 100% thereafter. When the governor declined to expand Medicaid, he said he didn't trust the federal government to uphold this promise. He said it was up to the legislature to take up this issue if we chose.
Willikowski says the expansion only makes sense if the federal government meets their funding commitments, and he confirms that the legislation introduced Thursday addresses that concern.
To that end, our bill authorizes expansion for only as long as the federal government pays at least 90% of the cost. We have a legislative legal opinion that says we can do this. This is a simple fix to a legitimate concern. Instead of using this concern to deny medical care to tens of thousands of Alaskans, we are working around it.
It's estimated that the expansion of the Medicaid program would result in medical coverage for around 40,000 Alaskans who don't have any form of health insurance and often end up in emergency rooms seeking care they can't pay for. So far, no Republicans have signed on as co-sponsors for the Medicaid expansion legislation. Identical bills have been filed for consideration in both the Alaska House and Senate. Have you had issues with the U.S. Postal Service lately? Bypass mail delays, understaffing in certain offices, rerouting a mail for sorting that doesn't make sense, or unexpected changes to parcel shipping? Well, Senator Mark Begich's office has been inundated with phone calls and emails from Alaskans who are unhappy with the U.S. Postal Service.
So it's important for us to really make the point to the postmaster that he has to straighten this up and clean it up.
And Begich says he will make a point to the Postmaster General. Yesterday, Begich demanded an immediate meeting with him after receiving an overwhelming number of complaints from Alaskans. Begich requests a meeting, much like the meeting he had with him roughly 2 years ago, when the U.S. Postal Service talked about closing more than 30 U.S. Postal Services in rural Alaska.
We dragged him into my office, beat him over the head a little bit, made it very clear why this was not possible and will not work. End result is we saved all those post offices. So we now, it sounds like I had to bring him in for, you know, phase two and make sure the Postmaster General understands that the critical nature of our post offices in Alaska and this service delivery system has to improve. And so he's going to hear loud and clear from me. I'm hopeful that we'll get positive results. And
Senator Begich sits on the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee that has jurisdiction over the Postal Service. He says they are working on a postal reform bill right now that will take care of long-term issues.
That will get it on solid financial footing for many, 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 many years to come. It will also protect bypass mail, which is critical. It also will ensure our rural post offices that were threatened to be closed will not be closed. So this is the longer-term path. We will finish marking up that bill, hopefully next week, and then move it to the floor. It's a bipartisan bill. I think we'll have success on passing that. But these immediate problems he can change and fix now.
One of the more recent changes is that of parcel post. Some have been notified by their local post office that parcel post shipping is no longer available and the only option is to ship priority mail. That means a rate increase of more than 30% on packages. And those markups hit hard. Heidi Erickson and Unalakleet sent sugar to herself from Anchorage this week. She learned parcel post was no longer available, and quickly a 10-pound bag of sugar that cost $5 in Anchorage doubled in value. The cost to ship the sugar was more than the sugar itself. And this is an example of just one of the issues Begich will bring up with the Postmaster General.
It's important to note there's a short-term issue here, and then there's a long-term, which we are working on, but we can't wait for the long-term postal reform bill. We need to get moving on these smaller issues that can be resolved, I believe, internally by the postmaster.
Letters of dissatisfied customers came to Begich from throughout Alaska, from Ketchikan, whose mail is sent to Juneau for sorting, to Barrow, where two elders informed Begich they did not yet receive their Christmas presents, in Quinnahawk, delays in delivery resulted in rotten food shipped through bypass mail that was no longer safe for consumption. And do you have a news tip? Visit knom.org and contact us. Help us share your stories. And looking in on the price of gold in New York at this hour, gold is down $2.10 an ounce to $1,242 an ounce. Silver is up 3 cents an ounce to $19.27 an ounce, and zinc is at 89 cents a pound. It is unofficially 33 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 12 minutes after 9 o'clock.